I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Coming up today on the Football Ramble.
It'd be quite a good tactic for Jurgen Klopp or any manager to encourage players to get tattoos of the clubs.
My ideal Motherwell investor would be Taylor Swift. She could come and give concerts here before a game. Can you imagine that? At Fir Park.
For every game.
But it's not billed as that. This is billed as a grudge match.
Shut up, you don't even care.
It's cold out there, but it's warm in here, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair. Bournemouth hosts Liverpool this weekend, and Ivan Tony's back. It's Friday, 19th of Jan. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidushina Hantharaja.
Hi, everybody. It's Freitag, as the Germans would say. And my goodness, it's lovely to have you all with us. Vish is gleaming. He's thinking, oh, weekend time. That means, well, we can't say that, but it means good times.
Is that what you think? You look at him and think, he can't wait to get out of here.
Yeah.
He's so motivated.
I'm not giving off
just
that energy.
Just get through this.
Yeah. Wait, I think you start the weekend here, which is the perfect place, really, to launch off into orbit.
Yes, yeah.
You're not having that?
No, I'll take that. Okay. It does explain why you keep counting down before you let me out the door.
And then the bell goes, yeah, and you're
the
off.
The keys have gone to your head.
Yeah, very much so. Now, there's been a lot of football played this week, of course, but the Premier League is very much the focus this weekend. But if you want to catch up on Nottingham Forest and Everton's FA Cup wins, then do catch Ramble Reacts with Pete and Andy straight after this. The episode is right above this one in your podcast app. Andy and Pete also talked about Jordan Henderson, which we a man we will talk about in just a moment as well. Yeah, Andy said he'd basically had the worst 6 months' work experience ever.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, so...
Especially as it looks like it's going to have been unpaid.
Yeah.
So, possibly might even cost him money.
Indeed, yeah. So do check that out. But let's start the Football Ramble preview show today with Bournemouth versus Liverpool. It's on Sunday at 4:30, and Bournemouth are a side we know, Jim, are quite dangerous at the moment in the Premier League, but Liverpool are more dangerouser because they are top of the league.
Absolutely, yeah, and they don't really seem to be missing Mo Salah at all, do they? So that's
well, they might miss him for a bit because he got injured.
Indeed, they might, but at the moment they haven't really. The level doesn't seem to have dropped off without him. That would be one of the things going into this game where you would think, okay, this is a bonus. They're weakened without Mo Salah. That doesn't actually seem to matter, which is terrifying. Be interesting to see how Bournemouth approach this because they understand Iriola's style now, clearly. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, from various Bournemouth players in recent weeks talking about, you know, how they took a little while to get up to speed, but now they understand their press and it's become automatic and, you know, when to do certain things. So that's you know, very clearly responsible for their upturn in form. So you wonder how they'll approach that against Liverpool, because they do play in a very sort of front foot positive way. But obviously, if you take that game to Liverpool, you run the risk of getting absolutely murdered. So
yeah, well, and they score goals. The Bournemouth. I mean, it's been a long time. I think you have to go back maybe to October where they didn't score in a match, which, you know, very, very impressive indeed. The only thing I would say about Bournemouth is their record against the top clubs at the moment has if you look at the run of form they've had, they have beaten sides who. You notice I haven't put Manchester United in that top bracket there.
Yeah, which is entirely fair.
Yeah, but this is not a criticism at all. You know, they drew against, say, Aston Villa, who've been going very well, as we know, this season. You know, won at Palace. They beat the mighty Fulham, for crying out loud. So they've had some very, very good wins. But against the top sides, understandably, like most of the other sides in the league, they've not had the big scalps. Although, of course, winning 3-0 at Old Trafford, you do have to put that
absolutely.
In there. So this is a test.
Don't say so reluctantly.
They lost away to Spurs, but this is this will be interesting, as you say, Jim, how they approach this, because they are playing the side who are top of the league.
But they're playing a different Liverpool side, aren't they? They're playing a Liverpool side without Salah, without Trent Alexander-Arnold, so it might be without Szoboszlai.
It's not going to end 9-0, is what you're saying.
Well, absolutely, or even, you know, put in the same performance that they did when they lost 3-1 earlier this season, because I think there's obviously just a bit more understanding there, as Jim pointed out. They seem probably up to speed, and they just seem like they belong as well. And I think that is kind of housed primarily in Solanke, really.
It's obvious to mention him, but there's a reason for that.
Yeah, but I think if we're mentioning him because he feels like a bit of a totem of what they're doing. Like it corresponds to, I suppose, his confidence, his general. Mm-hmm. Demeanor now, and he's always had that. He's always had a bit of that, like, kind of sporting arrogance, which you need to be a top flight player. And it feels like he's now justifying that as well.
Yeah, and you know, if you look at the top scorers chart in the Premier League, you know, only the injured Erling Haaland and now the injured Mo Salah have scored more goals than him. You know, he's got the same as Song Heung-min, he's above everybody else. There's no point in naming them.
You were suggesting that he was responsible for the injuries.
Well, you certainly can't say that about Salah, because that happened in the Ivory Coast. It would be quite remarkable if Solanke managed to disguise and do that.
We don't know how deep his network is.
True enough, Jim. True enough. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, he doesn't do all his dirty jobs himself. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Fine.
We're just asking questions.
We are. That's all we're going to do. Now, so Solanke's there. 8 goals in his last 8 games. I've said it once and I've said it again. Or asked it once and I'll ask it again. Is it too late for the Euros?
It's an unavoidable conversation at the moment, isn't it? Given his form and given the fact that he's, posting these numbers. Ivan Toney coming back, which we'll come on to, potentially put some competition in there. Poor old Ollie Watkins seems to get relegated out of this conversation. Possibly just because of slightly different style of player.
Well, no, he was in the conversation when his form, you know, there was a big upturn in his form and the quality. So Ollie Watkins is already in the conversation, I think. You're talking about those who are joining it.
That's fair, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I guess if something happens to Harry Kane gets ankle injuries, happens every season. It's just something he has to manage, something that's inevitable. We're very lucky it's not happened over a tournament.
Yeah.
Like, we have to really, really strongly consider all of these options. So I think it would be, silly not to select Solanke in the next round of friendlies. Personally,
Okay, well,
got to have a look at him. Surely he's earned that.
Yeah, you'd say he has earned it. And if he can bag against Liverpool, you know, that will only add to the chat about Solanke as well. Liverpool will be expected to win this game.
Sure.
Let's not be silly here. But still, we've asked this at various points in the season about Liverpool. Have you been convinced of them? What do you think at the moment, Vish, with regards to Liverpool? Are you thinking they can really go and go the distance here? Or do you expect Manchester City, as some people are saying, oh, well, they're going to wake up and they're going to, you know, just sort of pick up where they left off in the sort of second half of last season?
Well, I think at this juncture, Man City are going to win the league, right. But I do think Liverpool will push them close.
Right.
And I think what, you know, the Liverpool we've seen recently has almost, you know, they because they were starting with a whole new midfield, essentially, they basically worked it out amongst themselves. They've learned by doing throughout the first half of the season, essentially, where someone like Endo, I suppose, comes in and is in the base of that midfield. And that not quite happened by coincidence, but it certainly didn't happen at the start. And a lot of that would be, you know, for him getting up to speed and stuff like that. But it feels like they now know what their ideal 11 is. The issue is, I suppose, that they've been unable to put it out on the park. You know, Robertson's injury has been long-term.
Yep.
Endo, I mentioned there, is, you know, at the Asian Cup. So there is a little bit, you know, it doesn't feel like City are afflicted by any of these issues in the same way. Obviously, everyone has injuries, but because of the nature of their squad and their general dynamic, it feels like they just, it doesn't matter who comes in to a point because they just, they everyone knows what to do.
That bodes very well.
It does. It bodes, I mean, the reason, like, it's not like we were saying that they were, Man City had like fallen apart at the start of the season, but they've lost three games already and are still 2 points behind Liverpool.
Yeah.
So they're in, like, you know, that tells its own story. But I think what Liverpool really do need, and we might get it in the next month or so because of the absences, it probably needs to happen. But for all the enjoyment we get from Darwin Nunez as this, you know, not hit and miss, but, you know, like quite chaotic character. Yeah.
Chaos is the word, isn't
it? Yeah, he's not quite an enigma in the way that, like, you know how to do a crossword. It's just, you know, getting all the answers right. That's the issue.
That's it. You know how to enter the lottery. It's just getting those numbers, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, because like, to call someone an enigma is to like not know where the starting point is. We know what the starting point is with Darwin Nunez. Mm. It's just getting all the right answers.
Yeah. I think Darwin Nunez, he's not particularly enigmatic. I think he's more, it's like trying to herd ill-disciplined sheep.
Mm. Well, like ill-disciplined raptors. You're basically trying to tame a raptor, aren't you? Because everything he does instinctively is brilliant.
Mm.
And as soon, because, you know, he if you look at, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but if you look at all the chances he creates, if you look at like his general conversion, obviously he misses loads, but he's like, his record is weirdly quite good.
Mm.
For someone that we always talk about, like the quote unquote bad bits.
It's the old thing people used to say about Andy Cole, isn't it? It's like he needs five chances to score, but he will get, like, he'll make 10 in a game through his positioning. He's got that about him. He sort of ghosts around and it just makes himself available. Well, and to be fair, Chris Pratt tamed a raptor in Jurassic World. So
that's a good point.
Maybe Jurgen Klopp should watch that.
You're lucky Luke's not here because a mention of Jurassic World and he wouldn't be very happy at all.
I mean, it is awful, but...
Yeah, I mean, of course it is.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, yeah.
Patrick Bamford was saying recently on the BBC that if a striker's missing chances, it's still good that they're getting in the positions, the chances are being created, but you've still... One of the handy things is that striker is still occupying defenders.
Yeah.
So they're still getting in possessions where defenders have to kind of go and mark them, which leaves space and da-da-da-da-da. It's an obvious kind of point one when it's made, but before it is made, sometimes you think, oh yeah, actually I didn't think it's obviously not good if you're like, oh brilliant, yeah, hit the next one over the bar. I didn't mean it like that, you know.
Marking defenders.
They're marking defenders out the game. An incredible way to spin it, but let's go with that, why not. Alexis McAllister has been enjoying life at Liverpool, it's fair to say. He's a fine player, as we know, and he's been enjoying it so much so that he already wants to get a tattoo of the club crest on himself. And I think that he will have longevity at that club. I mean, longevity nowadays in football is about 2 or 3 years, for crying out loud. But I think, you know, he, all being well, he'll be there for a few years. You would expect a player of his quality and his age as well. But it is a tattoo. And I just think, just in case there's a falling out.
I know, but
he's got a lot of tattoos already, though.
He does.
Does he?
He's got loads of them. Some people view them very differently, don't they?
Yeah,
some people think
it's
like this really serious thing that you know, you've got to be careful, you're going to carry around this tattoo for the rest of your life. Some people just simply don't really care about that.
Yeah, but the things he has got tattooed is he's got the year 1998 on him because that was the year he was born.
Mm.
So I suppose, you know, in case you forget or something, or can I see any ID? Well, there you go. he's got the number, I think it's number 28, if I remember correctly, which was his number at Argentinos Juniors, where he played.
Did you need to do that?
Yeah, I think I did.
For the sake of the listeners. Connery impression.
A little bit.
Right.
Yeah. I just, because there'd be
right.
there'd have been so many people disappointed had I not have done that.
Yeah, let me tee you up for another one. S Club Juniors. There you go.
You see?
I enjoyed it the second time.
I knew he didn't mean seven there.
Yeah. And I thought he did. That's the worst.
That is how it goes, you see.
Sorry, you were saying.
It's amazing you're at this table with Jim and I. And that looks bad on us. But yes, we've got number 20. And he says there's always a reason why he gets these tattoos.
But people get tattoos for moments in their life, not thinking like, I wonder how this is going to look when I'm 65.
No, but it's not that. It's more a case of, like, say if he leaves Liverpool under a bit of a cloud.
But it's how he feels right now. I get the impulsive nature of
tattoos. Okay, fine. I don't know if he's got a Brighton one.
In an industry...
Has he got a Brighton one? Because if he hasn't...
That's its own story, doesn't it?
It'd be quite a good tactic for Jurgen Klopp or any manager to encourage players to get tattoos of the clubs, because then they're, if things are starting to get a bit you know, dicey for whatever reason, you might think... got the tattoo now, so if I kick up a fuss, I'll end up looking like a knob.
You've got to buy into this.
He should brand his players.
Do you know what, right?
Well, convince them to brand themselves, right. Which is in a way worse.
If they end up in a different field, just check and return them. Yeah.
Talking of herding sheep, I tell you who would have done that, 90s Ferguson, early 90s Ferguson at Manchester United. Is it definitely Lee Sharp at that party? Pull his sleeve up. He's there, right, he's got the tattoo, I'm coming. You know, that's what would have happened.
Well, Ferguson's thing was encouraging his players to get married as soon as possible. To the extent that when Johnny Evans was doing one of his first press conferences, it was a Champions League press conference.
It was during his wedding.
But it was a Champions League press conference.
That's the sign in the register.
And Johnny Evans' girlfriend at the time was, I think she was like doing work experience for ITV. So she was just happened to be attending there to see how it all works. And Ferguson heard that she was in the crowd during his press conference, said, oh yeah, Johnny's with a nice young woman. They should really get married soon, shouldn't they? And like looked out for her.
Just
sowed the seed straight away.
Pushed Johnny to his knees, put a ring in his hand.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Arsene Wenger was big into that as well. And
just to clarify, when you said Arsene Wenger was really into that,
he was players being married.
Yeah.
No, it's the voyeur stuff, isn't it? That's what you meant.
Am I going to get an invite?
He's watching a wedding. Oh, that looks a little fun.
Oh, dear. Wedding cake is good.
Oh, well, they're going to play Shout soon. It's my favourite bit.
Oh, dear. Well, gentlemen, let us move on to Jordan Henderson. So, yes, Andy, obviously, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Andy and Pete did talk about this, and we're going to talk about it as well. His contract has now been terminated with Saudi Pro League side Al Attifak after 6 months at the club, and Ajax have now officially signed him. Of course, I'm sure everybody has seen this. Now, he's reportedly not received a penny for his time in Saudi because he deferred wages to avoid UK tax.
Very quickly... Say if you're speaking to a child, what does that actually mean?
I believe in Saudi that if you stay, if you live there, you have to live there for 2 years to avoid a lot of... For
your salary to be tax-free. I know in this instance, I'm not sure how it works across the rest of the country, but for Jordan Henderson to get his salary tax-free, he would have had to live there for 2 years.
Yeah, right. So he will be subject to Saudi tax, but also...
Possibly Dutch and UK tax, I believe.
I think one or the other is how I understand that, which is 47% for the upper bracket in the UK, and then I think it's 49.5% in the Netherlands.
Okay.
He'd be taxed.
Jordan Henderson has joined FC Basel.
He's joined Cayman Islands United. He's obviously going to get taxed. I mean, I think the idea that he's walked away penniless or won't make any money or owes them a tenner or something. Yeah. I don't think that's quite the situation.
And I don't think anyone's going to have much sympathy, even if that is the case.
Well, possibly. But he's now signed for Ajax. We do know that. Which I think is a lovely old job for Henderson.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? We've sold a lot of weapons to Saudi Arabia in the UK. It's rare that they land in Amsterdam. Uh-huh. It's a quirky thing to have a seasoned England pro playing for Ajax, and I mean they're having a torrid old time, but is the standard enough for him to get back into or to stay in Southgate's plans, do
yes.
you think?
Yes.
Because
yes.
that's one of the motivations, isn't it, apart from trying to essentially save face.
I'm not going to say the opinion was changed, but it felt like the move was slightly different than I anticipated by the length of the deal. There was an element of luck. A bit more long term here. I really just thought it was for the next 6 months, essentially. That it'd be that kind of.
It was a 2.5 year deal. Is
yeah,
it?
I mean, so there's a real sense of I don't know, like he wouldn't have signed that for the sake of it, particularly given where he's come from and the mistake he made in the first place.
Yeah.
So there's an element of wanting to put roots down there and also be something to someone again, if that makes sense.
I think that does make sense.
Well, it all come around relatively quickly, isn't it? So it might just be the case that he's jumping on the chance to get away from this situation. You sense, the Athletic interview was a sort of interesting insight into how he was thinking. I think he was essentially trying to convince himself that this wasn't what it looked like when it clearly was everything it looked like. And I'd imagine if you were in that situation where you've become the sort of byword for greed and mistakes, essentially, I don't think you'd ever think about anything else, would you? You would constantly be thinking about it. You'd be dreaming about it. I think he just wanted out of this nightmare, absolutely of his own making, as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I think that's... Well, and to be fair to the club, you know, they did speed up the process and they didn't stand in his way. By all accounts, you know, it was all done very, very amicably.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? It's hard to know whether it damages the Saudi Pro League, because he's not the only player making noises about leaving. He's, to my knowledge, the first one to actually leave. Only Ren and Lodi so far has moved to Saudi in this window from a European club, I believe. I don't know whether it's a good thing for the Pro League that they're now not getting all this negative publicity that's associated with Henderson, because obviously he's associated with the Premier League, which is the league that generates so much news around the world. Or... whether it's a bad thing, because it could be the beginning of like a lot of players leaving. It could make the league look, you know, a little bit too bit. It's a really complicated thing.
Yeah, I think Saudi Arabia will be in this for the long haul. I don't think it will be quite the situation we saw in China, where I think China, the authorities there probably thought, hang on a minute, this is now a bit of a piss take. We need to massively row back on this.
They've hit massive obstacles quickly, though, which is not just the players leaving, but the attendance is still being really low.
But they have increased, though.
Yeah, but...
They're not going to increase overnight.
They're going from 5,000 to 7,000, aren't they?
Which is an increase. It is, but... Well,
you know.
I understand what you mean, Jim, but they are battling away. I mean, I'm not trying to now... You know, here I am defending the Saudi Pro League. I'm just saying, factually, it has increased.
It has, but if it increases that little when you bring all these huge names in and this big marquee summer... in which, you know, you announce yourself on the world stage as being a player, and then it's only that marginal. I understand what you're saying.
But it won't just be one summer, though. I mean, when you say all these players, they've signed a couple of handfuls of big players, but there's a lot more to be done. And this is an ongoing thing, and hence I think that they'll be in it for the long haul. You know, you remember the Premier League, you know, when the likes of Ruud Gullit and one or two others turned up. It was really exciting. Now, very, very different... histories of in the leagues and qualities, you would say, but the Premier League didn't bang suddenly become what we now know as the Premier League overnight. It would take a little.
It wasn't trying to do that, though. It wasn't trying.
Hence,
to
I said that it's very, very different. But what I'm saying is, though, that for the league to truly, really kind of change and so on, again, the long haul is what they're in for. I don't think they will give two hoots.
Well, having lost Jordan Henderson. Talking about changing things.
I mean, he
was the guy, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, your point about losing the bad press as well is a really important one, because perhaps one of the reasons they sped it up was like, mate, it's just not worth the hassle.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it could be, but I'd like to think that maybe that they have been somewhat bruised from this negative publicity.
I don't necessarily think that. If you think of the whole thing, if you think of the whole project, broader than the league itself. Think of all the different things they've had. The Club World Cup.
Spanish Super Cup.
World Cup.
They will have the World Cup.
Yeah, well, you know, World Cup bid. Even we can throw in Newcastle with that as well, to a point.
Yep. Plenty of other sports as well.
Yeah, plenty of other sports. They're about to make they're tentatively going to make quite a big move into cricket, which I appreciate doesn't sound like a big deal, but it is, because then you're throwing that on a whole other sport in terms of, would you like to come and play in Saudi Arabia as they did with LIV Golf?
That'll test you.
Well, it won't actually, and that's not the point, is it? It's not about testing us or the media or, you know...
No, I'm saying, would it be a test or will it go one day?
Dickhead.
You deserve that.
Yeah. But it's not necessarily testing the scruples of people like us or the media. Mm. It's just about upping profile, isn't it? And... You know, to go back to my original point, I was really surprised that they thought Jordan Henderson did that, which is probably disrespectful of me as an England captain, Champions League winner, league winner, Premier League winner. But at the same time, like, they've still got loads of players. And, like, Benzema's pissed off at the moment, but he's kind of pissed off because because of the football rather than anything else.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that will sort itself out.
Mitrovic is still bagging him in,
by
the way.
Of course he is. Of course he is.
Still keeping. I think he's one goal off Ronaldo.
Yeah,
it's absolutely ridiculous.
Mitrovic to Kareem. Look, if you're not got the minerals, that's on you.
It's unbelievable. I'm genuinely pleased for Henderson that he signed for Ajax. He will know that this is potentially quite an embarrassing thing. Well, it is an embarrassing thing for him. But, you know, I'm glad. I think Ajax is a really good move for him because I think if he'd come back to England, I don't think he probably wanted to play for a side that wasn't Liverpool. That may be a bit too rose-tinted spectacles about it. He may not have had offers. But the quality of the league will not stop him getting picked for England because it is clearly a better league than the Saudi Pro League. It is not in the top four, maybe even top five leagues in Europe, but it's still, you know, you are playing against good players and whatnot. And so I think his England chances will be increased massively because of this.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
And he gets the link up with Tuba Akpom. Englishmen at Ajax.
Oh, yeah.
That's just
a huge pull.
Presumably has never happened before.
Yeah.
I mean, Henderson is going to be associated with this Saudi situation forever. Mm. You know, it's going to be something that does define his career. He's obviously had a lot of criticism for that.
His career?
Well, I think it's going to be I think that will be up there in any conversation about him this will, because the publicity was unprecedented. We've never seen anything like this before. And again, it's of his own making. But once he had made that decision and made that mistake, the first thing he could have done to go some way to not rectifying it, but doing what he can to correct it, is moving away from it. And he has done that now.
Mm. Steven Gerrard signed an extension, though. He's loving it.
Yeah.
He's
thinking, well, someone's got to continue the good work that Jordan's been doing.
Yeah.
Well, so he's thinking, I've lost loads of games here and they're not sacking me. And I'm getting paid an absolute fortune. Yeah.
I might lock this in now, actually.
it's incredible. There's a tiny little rumour, and I stress it's a tiny one. And obviously, it's people are going to talk. But Jose Mourinho is being linked to Saudi club Al Shabab this morning. Of course he is. Of course he is.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really want to see it because I do want that. You know, we think he's got at least one last big job in him, and I really want it to be the Premier League because, again, what's good?
He's 61, Marcus.
Crazy.
He might have loads of jobs left in him.
Well, yeah, and he is powered by, you know, his sort of anger and frustration and so on. He will manage Portugal at some point. But I do think, though, that Mourinho, I think, at Roma, it was such a match made in heaven for a bit, of course, you know, and then the owners thought otherwise. I wonder if he thinks, can I find that at another club? Does he really want to kind of, you know, go through another, I don't know, Spurs situation or whatever? Then there's the Portugal manager job, and then there's a lovely pundit role in any studio in the world he wants.
I wonder if, with the way that football is so cyclical, his style might come back into fashion, like just by pure accident at some point, and he might be absolutely invincible again. Imagine.
Oh, God. I think the important thing to say is he kind of craves... Well, he craves attention, doesn't he?
Yeah, and that's what I mean.
He's not really going to get that over there.
Oh, he would in Saudi. That'd be, I think.
No, but he doesn't want like one country's attention. He wants kind of global repute.
Yeah, and to create that siege mentality. And that's what I mean, though. When he goes to a club,
they're all against us. Well, yeah. Of course they are.
Well, that's it. He needs to go to a club where it's all kind of, the attention is all completely on him, and it's not kind of no, Jose. No, we play this way, or actually we're quite well liked, you know, or whatever. So I don't know. Who knows? But it will be very interesting to see. One man who is not managing at the moment anymore is Troy Deeney. He's been sacked as Forest Green Rovers manager. And we talk about Mourinho's style and being a bit combative. Troy Deeney, I think it's fair to say, took that to another level. Quite incredible, his short time at Forest Green Rovers. I mean, they hired Duncan Ferguson, right? Mm. Now, Ferguson, just because obviously was quite a fearsome character on the pitch and in his home in the middle of
have
the night.
Have they got a type for his screen?
That's what I mean. I don't want to start sort of saying, you know, he's, mind you, what he's been doing up in Scotland recently as a manager. It's fair to say he's a combative kind of bloke, right?
Yes.
And then they go for Troy Deeney. But Deeney seems to be like even more so than Ferguson.
Yeah.
I mean, whoever comes in next, you know, and unless it's...
Surely they've learned from these two mistakes, though.
Well, indeed, unless it's like, you know, someone from like the WWE, surely it's going to be a lovely old job and they're going to get a manager bounce because,
The players will think, oh, thank goodness we've got someone.
So, talk us through what Troy Deeney actually said for anybody that might not have heard it.
Yeah, so Troy Deeney, I mean, he said about the game against Harrogate last Saturday, first half was boring. I'd rather watch friggin' Antiques Roadshow than that. No offence to anyone who likes Antiques Roadshow. That's one of the more milder ones. He accused his players of being inmates running the jail.
Right.
Right. And then he said there were too many babies top to bottom. And
I think in the jail?
Well, that's what I mean. You can't say inmates and then babies. Because inmates, I would have thought, if inmates managed to run the jail, they'd probably be quite hard or quite,
yeah,
you know, tricky.
Boxing Malone, though. They were all babies.
Yeah. He's done you there, mate.
Yeah, he's done me there. All right. Hold my hands up there.
Doesn't like Antiques Roadshow. Likes Bugsy Malone.
One of his players, he said, I just told him in front of everyone that 6 months ago he'd have had a kick to go to the Premier League. Now he won't get a game in the National League.
Yeah. See,
we haven't even hit rock bottom yet. That's the worry.
Yeah, I think it's got to the point where maybe it's just a bit embarrassing for Forest Green and they've just decided to pull the plug. And I think if you're one of those players, you're hearing those comments and you're thinking, I've just got to wait this guy out. It feels like he's sort of lost his head a little bit. And it's the kind of tough guy talk is a really interesting thing in modern football, isn't it? Players just don't really seem to respond to it. And I think I've got a theory with Deeney and a lot of managers like this, where he is realistically, because he's so obviously hard and an intimidating presence, he really probably has the highest status in any room he's in. So people just kind of defer to you when you're like mm-hmm. that, speaking from experience, obviously.
Yeah.
And it probably makes you think that everything you think is right,
yeah,
regardless of whether actually when it, you know, is tested in practice, it is or not.
Well, it's interesting you say that because his man management style clearly is not working. And
bullying.
Has. Well, yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, and I think, you know, on the basis of these six matches or whatever it was at Forest Green, you think to yourself, maybe managerial career is not for you, or maybe it's too close since you played. You know, because as a player, you can bark at orders at other players and so on, and then you'll have a bit of an argument or even a fight or whatever. But the manager is the one there to calm it down, and if it can't be solved, then somebody has to leave the club and whatnot.
Well, it's about what he takes from this, isn't it?
Yeah.
And how he sort of approaches his next job.
Yeah. And also what Forest Green do from this, because, you know, with all the talk of, you know, Brassel made this point in the WhatsApp group yesterday, they do a lot of great things off the field. And they're, you know, rightly lauded for a lot of that. But what are they doing, hiring Duncan Ferguson and Troy Deeney?
Yeah, Ferguson, I think I can understand.
At least with coaching experience, yeah, fine.
Do you know what I mean?
But they're obviously going for profile there, aren't they? Rather than
I mean, who would be like the most lovely appointment after that?
I was thinking,
Claudio Ranieri, something like
that. Who'd be the loveliest?
Really, a lovely, lovely appointment.
Who's lovely? Do we know any lovely people?
Yeah, Pete Donaldson.
Yeah, Pete's quite underrated lovely, isn't he?
Feel that might not go that well.
Can't go anywhere.
What was you thinking there, Jim? Why?
Forest Green and Pete Donaldson.
Yeah, he'd like have a bath in kombucha to make a point, wouldn't
he?
Something
would.
Like that. Yeah. No, that's a good point.
He'd give players like a game off. So don't worry about this one, lads.
I'll play.
We'll just take the loss today.
You have your
Saturday off.
Lads, we're not having any war on the sidelines. We've just got kimchi. Yeah. So if you want that, yeah.
Yeah,
if you're struggling, have some kimchi.
Terrible idea. Right, coming up in the second half, we've got some Ivan Toney chat and some Jesse Lingard transfer gossip. See you in a bit.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
In football, you've worked with and alongside some of the biggest names in the game, some of the biggest coaches you've come up against as well. Who's been your biggest influence in your coaching career?
I think myself.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Always nice to hear the voice of friend of the Ramble, Kay Murray, there. Now, Arsenal host Crystal Palace tomorrow at 12:30. Jim, Arsenal looking for their first win in over a month.
Yes,
the little slugs.
Ooh. It's Arscry, one of the better abbreviations available in the Premier League this season. Arseful, possibly the best.
Yeah, when they play Fulham. Yeah,
yeah, but I think Arsenal need a performance.
Arseman.
Arseman is good.
Although you don't have Mun.
Yeah, Billy Gunn was an Arseman.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have Mun because in Manchester United or City, you have to.
Manchester United is Mun.
Oh, they are Mun. Okay, yeah. Sorry,
Arseman. It works. But I think Arsenal won't really pay too much attention to that. And they need a performance as much as they do a result here. Because that's been a big part of this drab run of form. They've been creating all these chances, but not that many of them have been that high value. And they've not put a one. I mean, it's like 61, 63 chances. One goal recently was a stat I saw somewhere. It's really, that really needs to change.
Well, 61, 63.
As in, 61 shots, only produced one goal.
I thought if they'd scored 61 out of 63 chances,
that's pretty good.
To
pretty
me,
damn
I mean,
good. Yeah.
Nearly
one.
That's like,
one
good look at the defence then. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. It's like Cristiano Ronaldo at Real Madrid stuff, that.
Yeah. But I think this little break hopefully will do that. We know Arsenal can score goals. They scored the most goals they'd ever scored in the Premier League season last season. So there's clearly some sort of mental block going on there. So I'm really hoping that tomorrow will be a different story.
Yeah, I mean, goals wise, it's not been so good. I mean, in the top five, you know, they are distinctly the lowest goal scorers. Mm. Defensively, you know, pretty good. The good thing for Arsenal is despite dropping all those points, they are only five off Liverpool at the top. And they are above Spurs on goal difference, you know. So it's those little marginal gains.
Yeah, that was actually, you know, having a little break from Arsenal last week, it was almost a bit like It's a Wonderful Life. Like, this is what your life would be without Arsenal, like the reverse. But then, because Spurs were still at large, I was like, no, I can't have this.
At large.
Yeah, actually, truth be told, I've had a wonderful week.
Yeah. It's really fresh, nice, isn't it?
Brilliant, yeah.
The argument for less football gets stronger and stronger.
Yeah, well, and it should continue for you, Vish, as well. Palace down in 14th, excuse me. Just 5 points off the relegation zone. They've had a bit of a bad run of form, although they did win last time out, of course, which stopped the rot. Mm. You'd certainly hope so for Roy and Palace's sake. Roy Hodgson was defending himself again from the boo boys and the criticisms.
Which
of
it must
the media.
Be difficult for an apex predator.
Yeah, very difficult.
Not natural.
Yeah,
not being on the defence. Yeah.
he took off Eberechi Eze in midweek. Palace fans booed that, which.
Rightly so.
You can understand. Yeah. But he said that he needed a rest for this game, which I suppose...
Don't blame him then.
Yeah, if you're a Palace fan, you're thinking, basically you've just said, the FA Cup, it looks like we're going out of it, lads.
Yeah.
There's a game away to Arsenal that we must win. Do you worry that Hodgson could get sacked?
I do, yeah. I think you were saying the other day that he'll be there to the end of the season. I'm not so sure. Mm. Because if they flirt with relegation, then they're going to, in terms of how, you know, chairman think or, you know, football club hierarchies think, they're not going to have a choice.
Yeah. What do you think of it? It would be sad if it was an acrimonious split with Hodgson and Palace. But the way it's going, the way he's being quite defiant and defending it, obviously, it suggests, as the results do in the league position, that it's not improving. It's going one way, and it does usually end quite badly when that's the case.
I mean, I don't think it'd be a sad thing. I mean, I think it is quite a necessary thing, and whether he can turn it around and get to the end of the season, fine, whatever. He, as you said, you know, someone of Rodson's caliber and snatcher of manager.
Did you call him Rodson?
And
I
then
like that.
Caliber and snatcher.
Wonderful stuff.
Because he's bricked up, isn't it?
Yeah. Because he's an...
Rodson.
I'm just pushing
all the words together.
Yeah, but it works.
If he can get to the end of the season, then, you know, fair play to Hodgson. But I'd also think that... I think Palace fans have seen this basically in a cycle for a few years now. And I don't blame them for, you know, having quite a short shrift with it. And I also think that we know his limitations as a manager, and it's every now and again, you know, he'll hit the ceiling, he'll fall back down a bit, mm-hmm. and then come back up. But it's like the shittest yo-yo, really, because you don't really get to experience the high, you don't get the proper dip, and I can understand why Palace fans are just not even frustrated. Frustrated feels like the wrong word. It's just tired and bored, and there's a level of tedium about it.
Do you think the fact that there's a clear ending as well. It's basically the club are almost saying, just go with this until the summer.
Yeah, exactly.
And you think, that's a long way away in football. But,
and I think, you know, maybe one of the unspoken things about being at a club where you have a manager like Hodgson is this idea that you're a service to them, like you're a service to their retirement. You are the carpet that they walk out on, essentially.
Yeah.
And I know that that's a bit of a crude metaphor, but you end up being a vessel for someone else's journey.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't think that's the way Palace fans want to think about it.
Yeah.
Especially given there's long been talk of people linked with Eze. There's a lot of interest in Elise. Two generational talents, I think we can all agree. Mm. And they don't feel like they're making the best use of their time with those two players.
I mean, the thing I would say to defend Hodgson, as I'm duty bound, is that he was brought in to steady Palace.
As I mentioned on, I think maybe Wednesday show or maybe before that, but like, yeah, he was, and he did that before when De Boer got sacked.
But are they steady?
Well, so this is the question. So, if indeed he does, I think for Hodgson's point of view is that when you say, you know, he's being used as, or Palace are being used for a vessel for his sort of career or journey, if you like, I totally get that. But he would sort of say, well, no, hang on a minute. I was brought in to do this and, you know, let me finish my work and then, you know, appoint Carroll or whatever.
He has finished his work. By those parameters, he's done his job, actually. Mm-hmm. So if they do move on from him in this window, I don't think it's necessarily them saying, "Are you failed?" Mm-hmm. I think it's more that they just need to move on.
Brentford versus Nottingham Forest is later that day on Saturday at 5:30. It is a big one. It's a big one for both sides. Forest, of course, are with all the financial stuff they've been charged with and so on. What they need is results on the pitch as quickly as possible, because we've seen what's happened with Everton this season. Something like that could happen. So huge game for them. And Brentford, of course, that man Ivan Toney's back. And Brentford are not having a particularly great season. They're 16th, just 3 points above Luton Town in 18th. I mean, they do have a game in hand. But they need victories. And Toney, Jim Campbell, is surely the man to deliver them.
This is like The Rock coming back, though, isn't it? Like, in terms of the quality of it. I hope when he comes back, they give him like a theme tune and stuff, and he's wearing like a crown and a
Spurs
and a king's robe.
Well, he's going to be captain.
Yeah.
So he's leading the team out already.
Yeah. Which is pretty great. It's going to be a big moment this weekend.
Yeah.
And a quite rare thing.
Unless he pushes a move through to a bigger club as he wants. I am really excited to see Tony. I think everybody is. You know, Vissa is obviously playing in the AFCON. He scored in the other game. Mbeumo's out injured. We know their problems with some of their personnel missing due to whatever reason. Tony is going to be a huge miss, you know, for any team, really. And he's been so good for Brentford. And he said it was about a week ago or maybe more when his comeback was you know, it was due. And he said, you know, Brentford has just been brilliant for me. He spoke so favourably about Thomas Frank, about the club, about the fans who have been singing his name. And he's not even been in the stadium, for crying out loud. It's not like they can see him and go, there he is, give us a wave or anything. They have been so eagerly anticipating his return because they love him for what he's done there and so on. And he spoke about this a week or two later, whatever it is. He's asked about, you know, he's looking for a move to a big club. And I think, okay, he's answered honestly and we want honesty, but I think he could have been a little bit politician-like and batted that one away. And he's basically gone, yeah, I would actually. I really would like. And it's just like, oh, Ivan, that.
Yeah.
I'm sure the fans will still love seeing him. I don't want to start telling people what they should think, of course. But I did think, oh, yeah.
To meet him more than halfway, he's not saying anything that is news to anyone.
Yeah, but why say it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He shouldn't say it, should he? Think about the context. You know, he's coming back, as you say, he's been made captain. They've been chanting his name, blah, blah, blah. He should be, as he kind of was, saying, no, I'm just focused on Brentford. Which I think is the case. But by the sounds of what he was saying, it was like he was trying to push through a January move, which to me is crazy.
Well, I mean, he's 28 soon. The Euros are coming up. So he might think if he can get himself into a, you know, into a traditionally bigger team that might play into the thinking of the manager.
Yeah, but the Euros at his age are two different points for me, Jim.
No, but that's what I mean. That's what I'm trying to say.
But the Euros point is surely that he should stay at Brentford.
Well, he might not think of it that way. I think that he's obviously very, very he's a very, very ambitious person, and I think it's very obvious he wants a move, is impatient to get that move. Otherwise, I don't think this interview goes in that way. He's you know. He's bloomed late, hasn't he? Players like that, they have to jump on these chances.
His Euros chance is best served at staying at Brentford. The side that everyone noticed him at, the side that sets up to play to his strengths, where he can walk straight back in there and score tons of goals and where it's all there.
I mean, that is a key for me, because when Tony was at his best, or is at his best, everything flows through him.
Totally.
And it's so rare to see that. For a player who plays the furthest forward.
I think he'll get that anywhere, though. I think people know that he's that rare type of
striker. But you might as well.
That's bollocks. If he went to Spurs, which apparently they've been linked to Arsenal, there's no way it would flow through.
No, I think he's a... I don't know.
I mean, I think it would.
I think it'd suit both
of
those sides.
So do I, actually. Particularly Spurs. But I actually think with this Brentford side already, already kind of geared towards him, it's just a bit easier, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, he knows that, you know, everyone there and the system that they play. The thing it's Jim's point really about time.
Mm-hmm.
Time is what he's worried about. Time is what he's lost already.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as there is, you know, it's the two different points, as you pointed out, about age and whether he's getting to the Euros, but it's also what we know now, opportunity. And it is... he knows he's a scarce commodity, even as someone who hasn't played in all this time.
He also knows Brentford will get more for him now, and that works into it to his favour.
But then it's also, I think, a point that, Jim, you made before we started recording when we were outside about, actually, you know, we've spoken a lot in the transfer window about what teams can and can't afford.
Yeah.
And you do wonder what is actually out there. Who has the purse to come in and take him off Brentford's hands.
So this is the psychodrama derby this weekend, because obviously the Tony situation we've just discussed. But Forest, of course, as you mentioned, Marcus, have these charges hanging over their heads. And we saw with Everton that it galvanised them. And actually, that was a I'm not going to say it was a positive thing for them, but their response to it was positive. Forest absolutely have to do the same. But they're in a slightly different situation where obviously they've got a new manager. And it's possibly harder to create that sort of situation when you don't know the players so well. They made hard work of Blackpool in the week. I know they've made a lot of changes for that game, but form going into it, certainly based on that, is a bit shaky despite them getting the win. So, I mean, how do you see this one going?
Yeah, I just, I can see a Tony hat-trick here. I really can, yeah. proper
at home, that'd proper like
box office,
straight back at the races.
Daddy's home.
Tony perfect hat trick.
Yeah.
First half.
Yeah. One of them being a penalty.
Forest and a decent upturn of form. So yeah. What they beat United, which Manchester United. Well, they beat both Uniteds actually, Manchester United and Newcastle United.
There you go.
And then you know these two games with Blackpool and eventually got over the line, but. Mm-hmm.
Brentford yeah, are on a yeah, you know what, you're right. I've said they weren't in such great form, but that's not true of the league form, is it?
But Brentford but, are I mean, in
they've only won
form.
Their last two in the league. And yeah, as you said, Brentford are absolutely shocking at the moment. Mm. But yeah, it feels like a different, with Tony coming back, it's a different proposition.
Sergio Reguilón joining Brentford on loan. That's not a bad one, is it?
You know what? He was on loan at Manchester United, obviously, before that ended in the start of January. And I didn't think he did that badly. And I think there have been times that I've watched him at Spurs in that you know, when he first joined, where I thought I can definitely see something here. He's definitely like a decent player. I wondered if actually if he'd stay, just given the nature of Spurs' injuries. But yeah, more power to them. It's quite exciting as well, considering how Brentford play, and a lot of the reasons why they have struggled this season is because of the lack of Rico Henry. And generally, they've lost the quality from out wide in the fullback areas and the wingback areas, I suppose. And mm-hmm. I think Reguilón can definitely give them that.
Yes. Talking of extremely unlikely transfers in January, but one we would definitely want to see, Barcelona apparently seriously considering handing a contract to Jesse Lingard. My
He's
goodness.
Talked them into that so well.
My goodness.
Get him in.
Get him in. Yeah,
he pull the other lever.
Calvin Phillips and Jesse Lingard pulling the strings of Barcelona.
Oh man, I can't see
that. That's like 2016 vintage with 2021.
Yeah, all of that.
Love it.
Lingard had been linked with Phil Neville's Portland Timbers earlier in the week.
Possibly.
I tell you, if he went there, I'd be going every week. I get seen to. It's like, oh, dearie me.
I don't think you'd like Portland.
Why?
Because
I'm horrendously right-wing? Why would I not like Portland?
Well, yes. Yeah. I was trying to find a way around that, but yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah,
that's not true, everybody.
No, it's just a bit alternative. And I don't really think that's your vibe.
Really?
I think you'd be annoyed.
Okay.
Because you hate hot drinks. Yeah. And it's basically where
I don't mind other people love them. Doing them. Wow. Actually, no, the coffee drinkers, they hold up the queue, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's full of coffee drinkers, Portland, so. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like
hold
Seattle.
Up the queue.
Yeah.
So you don't hold up the queue when you're getting what you're ordering?
No, because it takes a few seconds.
Right.
But what are you getting? So where are you buying your coffee, by the way?
I don't drink coffee.
Yeah, sorry. Where are you going that also sells coffee that's full of coffee drinkers? Are you going into Pret and buying juice?
No, they often sell flapjacks, don't they, those places?
Oh, you are the most wholesome man in the world.
Yeah. So, there we are. I don't know what to say. But Portland Timbers, you know, they are the Ramble team, you know.
I suppose, yeah, that's true. You know,
they found
good old
us.
Timberwolves.
Yes, indeed. Right, gentlemen, I want to bring your attention to something quite nice now, because after all the news of the charges in the Premier League this week, owners and investors have been in the headlines a lot, of course. Now, Motherwell chairman, let's go north, let's go to Scotland. Motherwell chairman, Jim McMahon, had made headlines for different reasons last week. He was asked who his ideal Motherwell investor would be, and he said, my ideal Motherwell investor would be Taylor Swift. She could come and give concerts here before a game. Can you imagine that? At Fir Park.
For every game.
When she visits, she will get a seat in the director's box and a wee pie.
Now, this has genuinely been brilliant from Motherwell, because they did a video essentially trying to get investment. And it's a sad state of affairs where we have clubs needing to do that. But they've done it in a really, really slick way. It's got a lot of attention because of this Taylor Swift stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's great. It's just really nice. It's clubs using social media well for something they actually need.
Taylor Swift is a pie.
Yes.
Give her a wee pie.
So, you know,
don't
Motherwell,
say
Taylor's
Swift.
Version.
Don't say Taylor Swift is a pie.
Why?
Do you know about
be
Swifties?
Careful. Yeah, be careful of the Swifties. Oh. You do not want to get
mad?
On the wrong side of them.
What are you doing?
Too late now, Vish. They've got algorithms to pick up criticism of Taylor Swift.
Okay, just saying, on Ramble Uncut the other day, it was we celebrate the anniversary of the Davy Cameron is a pie tweet, didn't we?
They're not going to care.
Okay.
Don't realise what you've done, do you?
We are toast.
We're in so much trouble. I'm glad I'm leaving the country on Sunday.
Oh, right.
It's absurd.
Is there a lot of them in
Portland?
That
isn't going to save you.
Yeah. Off to Saudi Arabia for us. They'll protect us. Right, everybody, it's time for the Football Ramble Acca with Betfair. With Betfair this season, you can build your football accumulators with their 90-minute payout, where all winning selections will be paid out in 90 minutes on their match odds 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time. So today and every Friday, we're building an Acca of four match odds 90 bets from across the Premier League. Jim, you're up first.
I am up first, and I have gone for Brentford to beat Nottingham Forest. I think you're right. I think Ivan Toney is going to make a big difference there. So, I've got 8 wins out of 19, though, so maybe you shouldn't listen to me.
Okay, well, you've still got 8 there, Jim. Next pick, Bournemouth versus Liverpool Vish.
I'm going for a stalemate.
Ooh.
I just feel like with Liverpool missing not just Salah, but Alexander-Arnold, as we mentioned before. And
Endo as well.
Endo, Solanke's form. Obviously, they've got a couple of players out at the AFCON as well. But yeah, I don't know, I fancy a draw here.
Interesting. Okay. You've got 7 out of 13, correct?
Legend.
And by the end of play, you might have a 50% record. Arsenal versus Crystal Palace is a game that we gave to Pete Donaldson, and he had this to say.
I'm going to go for Arsenal winning this one, simply because they're fresh from Daddy Dubai warm weather training. They've got clear plastic bags from the airport filled with tax-free snoo. And also there's the small matter of Gabriel Jesus being back in the fold as well. So I'm going to go for Arsenal for this one.
There you go. That's Pete presumably driving along in his new automobile.
It's not his new car. He hasn't got his new car yet. I do know his new car has Wisdom Ace written on it and that it's very confusing. So more on that as we get it, I presume, across various shows.
Yes, and do check our socials because you will see what Pete has bought. I have Sheffield United versus West Ham. I'm going for a West Ham win. West Ham win, everybody. David Moyes with all 3 points there. So we've got a Brentford win against Forest, a draw between Bournemouth and Liverpool, a win for Arsenal versus Crystal Palace, and a win for West Ham against Sheffield United. A £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £153.56. And if we win, all that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, Betfair will donate £10 to Prostate Cancer UK. They've donated £470 so far this season. Not too shabby. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by some stoppage time drama won't be affected, and that's the same for our Ramble Acca every week. Exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. T's and C's apply. You've got to be over 18 to get involved. And for more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org. Now it's time for this.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
Yes, it's time for Jack's Encyclopedia, my beauties. And I'm in the chair. It's Vish versus Jim. I mean, there is no belt on offer today.
Why?
Because I'm the belt holder, baby.
You can't do that. What? Sorry, what? So you have the belt and you're not playing?
Correct. Yeah, this is an exhibition
match. What's the point? Yeah.
Just a little friendly, if you like.
I wouldn't get out of bed for this
don't
if you told me.
It's going to be friendly.
But it's not billed as that. This is billed as a grudge match.
Shut up, you don't even care. Even you don't believe that.
Come on, grudgy McGrudgeface.
I'm trying to win from the hosting position.
I know, yeah.
What he's doing. Smudge.
Anyway, it's a simple game of categories, as you know, if you go
it's
too slow.
It's like playing football in Saudi.
I will be playing Gary Neville's Orgasm, which will leave you 7 seconds. I won last Friday, of course, so I do hold the lineal belt. But it's Vish versus Jim today, and we're going to start with Jim Campbell. The 20 players who have made the most appearances under David, a.k.a. David Moyes, throughout his managerial career. So all the clubs he's managed, the 20 players who have played the most for him.
Okay,
Jim,
that's a big one.
I'm off you go.
I'm going to go for Tony Hibbert.
Tony Hibbert? Lovely one.
Marouane Fellaini.
Well played, sir.
Leon Osman.
And he is the most with 345 appearances. So you just get an extra ding for that.
Seamus Coleman.
Seamus Coleman. I'm afraid not, sir.
Wow.
I'm afraid not. David Moyes left Everton a long time ago.
He did. Really, yeah.
Yeah. Point to Jim.
Probably Leighton Baines is the one I should have said.
Should have said that. You could have had Declan Rice, Jared Bowen, John Macken, Joseph Yobu, Lee Carsey, Leighton Baines, Mark Rankin, Mikel Arteta, Pablo Fornals, Phil Jagielka, Phil Neville, Sean Gregan, Stephen Pienaar, Tim Cahill, Tim Howard, Thomas Suchek, incredibly, or Victor Anichebe.
Yeah, I guess he's had two spells at West Ham, right? So
yeah, good show.
He's a tricky
Victor
one.
Victor Anichebe.
Yeah. Lovely to hear his name.
Yeah.
This is a lovely one, gentlemen. So 1-0 to Jim. The Africa Cup of Nations, of course, is well underway. I want the top 22 African goal scorers in the Premier League. Now, it would have been 20, but there are a few players level on goals, of course, at the bottom of the list. So, Vish, you are first. So, top 22 African goal scorers in Premier League history.
Didier Drogba.
Yeah, I thought you might get a mention.
Mo Salah.
Mo Salah. Drogba was number 3, by the way.
Ooh. Yakubu.
Yakubu. Course he's in there. Course he's in there.
Sadio Mane. Ooh.
He's in there.
Yahya Toure.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Kanu.
Is Noah Nkanu in the list? You bet your bottom dollar he is.
Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Well done.
Riyad Mahrez.
Well played.
That's a lovely touch.
That's
that.
A nice one. That.
Do you like that?
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final. The headline has been written.
How had Juve? No, it feels wrong.
Jim Campbell for the win.
Emmanuel Adebayor.
Ooh.
Jim Campbell wins.
Nice. Yeah. Oh dear, oh dear, Vish.
Well, it wasn't for anything. I've lost an exhibition game. Yeah. Big what?
That face I've seen so often on the end of my sword is on the end of Jim Campbell's today. Not a euphemism.
Really, really sounded like one.
Yeah.
Though.
Benny McCarthy, Demba Ba, Efena Koku, Frederick Kanute, Jordan Ayew, Kelechi Iheanacho, Papa Cisse, Peter Unluvu, Peter Odemwingie, Solomon Kalou, Shola Amiobi, Wilfried Bonny, Wilfried Zaha.
Yeah, shit.
Big win for
Jim. Yeah, we didn't have your remember cat noise.
Yeah.
You bring out.
Because there's nothing on this.
Yeah.
Should we do the other round? As pointless as the first two, if you want to do that.
Unbelievable. You are unbelievable, you are. Do you know what? I was going to say that the last round we could have counted for three, but you've talked me out of it. So.
Oh, did I? Because it's an exhibition, we can just make up the rules, couldn't we? Yeah.
You are.
Shame we didn't do that.
Yeah. Fans would boo you and your dreadful attitude, Mike.
And
goodness.
You know what? Fans would remember me.
Really?
The streets won't forget.
In the same way we remember Saddam Hussein. There we are. You're staying.
Do you think the streets remember? Saddam Hussein. Streets won't forget Saddam. Yeah.
You're staying.
You know who the streets won't forget? Oh, you're similar vein. Chemical Alley.
Chemical Alley.
He's a streets won't forget tyrant.
Well, yeah. For that, Vish, you're staying behind for a few hours. So there we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Do join myself, Jim and Vish, if he fancies it, for tomorrow's mailbag, which promises to be brilliant. Do follow us on Twitter, currently known as X, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram, at Football Ramble. And don't you dare forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Vish. Idiot. Vish. Let me say goodbye.
I think you've done enough.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.